Oh, that's the kind of thing I have to put up with at home. We are thankful to the Lord for the gift that He has given to my baby. I was sitting there, she was singing, and I thought about the many days that I held her in my arm when we had a small little church at the time, probably 70 members or so. My mama couldn't keep her quiet, and I just take her up in my arms. And in those days, I used to wear a robe. She'd be all under the robe, Mary. But I had no idea that the anointing was all up in there. And so we're thankful. Thank you so much. And she is, any of you who would love to pull her up on iTunes, you can just type in Angela Hearns and it'll show up and you can pull it down or whatever you'd like. I want to say thank you to everybody. And I want to take 2 or 3 minutes to talk about Darrell Armstrong. And then I want to take you to the Word. Reverend, there's no way, because I'm looking at the crowd here, and since I've been here, you're not starving for attention. There's no way in the world you could have invited my daughter and I here, in particular to me, to trust me to feed the flock that you are assigned to feed without having validation from the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a message prepared, but I feel something else messing with me here. And I want to be sensitive to time. And I'm going to, I just want you all to pray that we will be able to do just exactly what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. So I want to say to you, Pastor, and I'm going to mess up your name, Melanie, okay. I want you all to know, and Shiloh as a whole, and all of the contingents from Los Angeles, I am honored to no end to be here. Now, no pastor, and particularly at my age, I've gotten involved. My plans were, a long time ago, is to finish my engineering career, and then I intended to move back to Mississippi. But the Holy Ghost had other plans. And the other plans was that I got all tangled up into politics, and I don't think that any good pastor can avoid some level of politics, because our job is to minister to everybody. We can't let anybody. So I had planned to come back to Mississippi, but now they got me hooked up. And they even asked me to pray often throughout the city. And they know that I am not scrupulous. Or I'm not sensitive to political correctness. Jesus is the only name that has power. So when I pray, it's in Jesus' name, or I ain't praying. So we're thankful, and I want you to know that the first part of this, I certainly appreciate and honor the privilege to be here today. Now, a couple of things that I normally do at home in case I forget, and pull off my coat or something, I want you all to allow me to do that. I didn't check with Pastor on that one. But I'm old, so if I do something wrong, you said, well, he's just old. Amen. So I'm thankful for that. Pastor, and to all of you again, and to my young ones down there, I am just, again, honored, honored, honored. Brothers at our church sing on third Sundays, too, so our men, of course, will be singing this morning as well at our church. So we're glad to be here. And thank you so much for allowing us to be here. And I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me for a moment as we pray together. And I need somebody to just, if you ain't scared, just begin. This young lady gave you the words to use. But if you ain't scared, just start praying. And I pray over how you pray, as long as Jesus is in it. You can pray for me, and I'm just going to ask the Lord to help me and give me wisdom on how to deliver these 5 points to you. God, we do thank you. And I guess my thank you at this point, Lord, is help me that I might deliver a death blow to the kingdom of darkness and a built wall for the kingdom of light. Bless us now and bless every ear that hear this, and particular blessing on your man, your set man of the house, the angel of this house. Would you bless him? And bless Melanie and those two fine children in the name of Jesus. Now open this book for us, Lord, and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you would, open your books to the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah. We're talking about this vision. And I forgot to say to my baby again, I think I may have said that to her. But thank you for that song. My favorite song that she does, out of all of the songs that she does, is called He'll Do It Again. And but that one was a blessing for us. Book of Nehemiah. Chapter 4. And the book of Nehemiah is that in the New Testament? It's not? I'm not laughing. What you all laughing about? Remember, I'm old. I check people out and see if anybody starts looking for open the New Testament. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. But it came to pass that, verse 1. Chapter 4, that when Sanballat heard that we built the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, question number one, what do these feeble Jews? Question number two, will they fortify themselves? Question number three, will they make a sacrifice? Question number four, Question number four. Will they make an end in a day? Question number five. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And I thought today, there's a question on the floor of the world to the church at large, a challenge to the 21st century church. There's a challenge on the floor in the form of these five questions that we plan to open up to you today. You may be seated. If you make notes, we will share with you these 5 points. Let's take a look at the earlier chapters dealing with Nehemiah. You all know, those of you who are Bible readers, you all know that that brother had a very high position. He was a cupbearer. And he got himself appointed a position, a political position, with resources to go back home. But he heard about his conditions back home, and he was really, really disturbed when he found that the walls were torn down. And so when he went before the king on that particular day, and as you know, those of you who study your word, know that you never go before the king with a down countenance. But on this particular day, he smiled, but only facially smiled, and the king recognized it and said, "Nehemiah, what's wrong?" He said, "Nothing, Your Honor." He said, "Gooder say, you're lying, son. What's up? Sit down and let me talk to you." And when he talked to him, he said, "What's bothering you?" He said, "King, the walls are down at home. And oh, King, I hope that you would let me go home and give me a leave of absence that I may rebuild the wall." And I'm sure that when Armstrong came here, that there were some things that needed to be changed, and he had to be able to be sensitive enough not to get in and tear down and tear up stuff. See, that comes from being listening to the Holy Spirit. Don't tear up something until you can find out what to tear up, how to tear up. Because sometimes you can tear down something that needs to be torn down, but something else goes with it. And we have to be sensitive to that. So Nehemiah, let me cut across the road here with you and so that we can get to these 5 points. But when Nehemiah began to research the area, he didn't want anybody to know that he was looking, so he went up in the middle of the night and he took just a few with him and surveyed the crowd. And Pastor, I know if people here in Trenton or anything like they are out there, if you don't watch yourself, you have guys walking up in the church with their britches hanging down below their hind end. Y'all ain't hear me. Come on. Don't nobody get scared. Don't get scared and put me out before I finish here. And you know that when you see these kind of things, when I grew up, I only had one pair of shoes and a pair of old raggedy britches, but Mama had patched those and washed them and took some, I don't know how she did it, but she took some flour and made starch because she couldn't buy it. And I and my britches, and they would stand up by themselves. Are you with me? And they were looking good, folks. So you didn't just go to church any old kind of way when I grew up. So he did a survey, and when he found out where they were, he began to line up people. And when I walked in here, I want you to know that I didn't say anything to Pastor. I just watch everything. And everything is lined up. Drivers are in place. And people who give you guidance are in place. Cones are all over the place. And I love it. And that's the way I think and hope that we have things at our place. Well, now I want to let you know how the world will look at you. Now, let's go to point one. What is this shallow Baptist church now going to do? That Woodson is gone. What is shallow going to do? How are they going to find another minister like Woodson? This is the devil speaking now. And they cannot find anybody since. So now I will take a ride down through Shiloh and scatter the people and get things moving in another direction. But they want to know, what will these feeble Jews do? What will this Shiloh church do now? And so they began to ask these questions. And you then took the right turn by beginning to seek God and saying, who should we get? Holy Ghost, help us. I believe somebody up in here knows something about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Are you all with me? In fact, Jesus told these disciples when he got ready to leave in verse 7, they said, Lord, are you going to give us the reins again? Are you going to set everything back under our control? And when is all this going to happen? And Jesus basically said, it ain't none of your business. He said, but what you need to do is to go and tarry until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, then be my witnesses. I want you to know that and without the Holy Spirit, we don't have eyes. Our little eyes can't see too far. And I'm a graduate engineer, and sometimes I think I'm pretty cool. Even at this age, I think sometimes. I still remember Kirchhoff's law and Newton's law of motion and thermodynamics. I still know how to do that. And it's been many years since I've had to do any of that, because soon after I went into engineering, wasn't too many years before they moved me into supervision and then on into management and then into top management. So I still remember that. But guess what? That all leads with the earth. But when we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he can see beyond thermo. Oh, I know I'm right on that. He can see beyond anything that we can calculate. And I know how to sit down and design a construction for a bridge. I know how to do the shearing moment diagrams and all of this stuff. Still know how to do it. But when I didn't know what to do, I would always go to the Holy Spirit. So I want you all to know, Shiloh, that the devil has his eyes on you because you're doing things. And I want you to know, but the Lord has you under his wing. So what will they do? They will go to the Holy Spirit. Point number two as we move on. And this is the one I want to spend a little time with. Will they fortify themselves? Now, let me tell you something. I notice you're saying that you have either former speakers of the house in this church speakers of the House, educators. Yesterday at the lunch hour, we had a young lady who spoke. I don't know if she's here this morning or not. Doctorate degree. And when she got up, I was whispered to my daughter. I said, my granddaughter is at the University of Memphis right now working on her doctorate degree and doing very well as she goes through obtaining her doctorate degree at the University of Memphis. But that can only go as far as her little life can go. But what Grandpa has done with her, with her mother, even though she had a crazy little funnied up, jacked up daddy, I'm off on another course here now. You know, sometime, and I'm going to say this to all of you who have teenagers and daughters and sons that are growing up, you need to watch out. My daughter, my oldest daughter, her sister, my oldest daughter, got married to what I call a monkey. I mean, just flat out nothing. Drunkard. And then she got mad at me because I, at the time, had gone into to USC to do my master's degree in engineering. So she decided she wanted to live because Mama and I were already divorced. And that's a whole nother sermon there. So I've already talked to your pastor and his wife and said, don't listen to everybody. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Sometime I'm on course number, sermon number three now. Sometimes we just have to smile and make sure that people believe that we're listening when all at the same time, all we're going to do is to go home and listen to each other as husband and wife. If you don't, you can end up having something run up the middle. But my daughter then wanted me to do the wedding. I said, baby, he's not for you. And then she brought him over for him to meet me. And that was 30-something years ago. I'm pretty strong as an old man today. She brought him sitting over on the couch and said, I said, baby, is this who he is? She said, yes. Yeah. And then he stuttered when he talked. He said, what would you do if Valerie got quit? Got pregnant and I didn't want to get married to her. I said, I would tell my daughter to tell you to go to H. And you know that young brother decided to get up. I said, son, you don't want to get up off the couch. Don't do that. Son, I squeeze you so many ways. My daughter started crying. Then she knew that it wasn't the guy. But anyway, long story made sure. She wanted me to do the wedding. I went and did the wedding, and it didn't last. She had two children, and the end of that. But Grandpa stepped up to the plate, told my daughter, let's go. You got to raise these two beautiful daughters, and you got to know that God is going to give you the power to do it. So what we got to do here is fortification. You got to get yourself together. You got to make sure that not only do you have the education, but you got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to let the Holy Spirit give you the guidance that you need. Ask Him, and if you ask Him, He'll give you what you need. The Lord said, ask of me, and I will give you what you need. So the fortification here. I am absolutely certain, without a question in my mind, if a church fortifies itself with prayer and Bible study and stay on your knees, God will give you what you need in this ugly time that we are presently living in. God will give you power. And if you go to Him, He will not let you down. Will they fortify themselves? Will they teach their children how to wear their clothes? Will they teach their daughters and sons who to marry and who not to marry? And my daughter, by the way, she said to me after she was divorced from that, by the way, she called me and said, Daddy, he said this to me last night. He called me this kind of name. And finally, I got tired of it. She was living in San Francisco, which is about 400 miles from where I live, down near Los Angeles. And I said, baby, don't call me no more. If you're going to sleep with that in, get that. I know you read the word in. If you're gonna sleep with that in, don't call me no more. But when you're through, when you got enough, call me and I'll come get you. So about 6 months later, she called me and said, Daddy, I'm ready to come home. And I went and got my ex-wife, my children's mother, and we went and picked up our daughter. Brought her home, and she began to coach her over there in her house, and then she'd come to my house and I'd coach her again. And my two granddaughters are fine. A granddaughter doing her doctorate, and one who graduated, and she's... I wanted an engineer in among my children, and my second granddaughter is a math teacher in the local school. She's got all the California certificates for everything all the way through differential equations. She's bad. She's bad. I said that we definitely need to fortify ourselves. We need to fortify ourselves not only with education, brothers and sisters, but with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third point is here. Will they really make a sacrifice? Will they absolutely pay those tithes in the midst of a crisis time such as we're living in? Are they willing to make a sacrifice? Will they attend the time of study that is set up by the angel of the house that I put there to lay out a plan for them? Will they make that sacrifice? Now, at our church, when I get 75 to 80 on Wednesday night for prayer service, nothing but just to pray, I feel pretty good. Out of 3,000. Ain't that something? Now, I got to tell you, I'll take a good look at myself, Pastor, and say, what in the world have I done here? But people at our place are just not up for making the sacrifice just to pray. Now, if you have something else added with that, here they come. But just to pray. So I'm saying to Shiloh, if you're not, get yourself absolutely ready by making that sacrifice to be there when Pastor calls for prayer. Now, I'm not telling you that we don't have the support we need, because we do, and we have some pretty tall bills every week, tens of thousands of dollars every week for our bill. But the Lord has blessed that we have no problem in that area. Even we have what technology, I heard was mentioned technology. We have a whole ton of people who send their tithe in, whether they are not through some, what is it, PayPal or some kind of thing like that. I'm not a technology person. I'm having a problem with this right here, right now. May I come out of here and get the mic in a few minutes. Will they make a sacrifice? Will they turn away for a few moments to say, Lord, bless my pastor. Bless his wife. Bless their marriage. Because you have two people who are definitely qualified. An attorney, a preacher's wife. That's big, folks. I think you all got to help me out of this. God bless you. Thank you. Let me tell you that if you will absolutely make the sacrifice, God will absolutely give you the power. There's no question about that. God is not limited in power. God will give you what you need if you're willing to make the sacrifice. But if you're not willing to make the sacrifice, you can't have what God would have you to have in this 21st century. The 21st century, church, let me tell you, is calling for people who are absolutely ready to do what God has called them to do. Because people today have made church whatever they want to make it to be. People absolutely will not just accept the Word of God as being the church today as they should. They will call the church anything they want to call it. They'll give it its own name. Well, we're back on the air. Amen. Everybody has a definition of what the church is. And everything goes, brothers and sisters. It doesn't make any difference. And if we're not watchful, Pastor, we'll have all kind of little churches in one church. Because everybody got their own way of how they do it. And they say that they're right. I want to say to you today, you need to absolutely make sure that you ask God to give you the power. Will they quit short? That's the fourth question. Will they quit short of the purpose? Let me take you to another scripture, and you can read it on your own if you would, and that's in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite books anyway. Romans chapter 8, in particular verse 28. And you know what Paul said there? For we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and what are called according to His purpose. So this fourth question, will they stop short of purpose? Will they stand firm until the mission is complete? Will they stand in the heat of a day, no matter what's going on, and say, Lord, I will not stop short of the purpose that God has given me. The assignment that my pastor has given me, I will not quit until I have finished it. I was down in the dining hall yesterday, and I noticed they had stations 1 through 7, or 1 through 8. I don't remember how many stations there were, but everybody was at their station, and everybody seemed to be serving their purpose. I went over this one area over here, and they said, no, this is for, do you have diabetes? I said, no, I don't have diabetes. Well, this is for people who need low sugar. I said, give me some sugar. They pointed me to the next station over. Then if you want fish, you go to the next station. I was definitely impressed. I was watching. And I'm stealing everything I can steal to take back with me. Glory to God. So the question is, will they stop short of purpose? And the purpose that the Lord has called us to, let me tell you, the Lord has called us to an awesome purpose. And we cannot stop short of what God has given us. I never will forget when I ran for the city hall for the mayor back in 1990. There was 7% in our city black. And I don't know, probably about 12 or 14% Hispanic. And the rest were white. And the majority of them in my city at the time were old. And what they said is that no way you can win in this city being a black man. So I had a guy come out and he surveyed the area and they did a poll in my city. So they came back with the poll, and the poll said that there were two seats open. There were two seats open. So this guy did a poll, and he came back, and he said, Mr. Hearns, we like your style, but you can't win on this one here in this city. And so I asked him, why? Why can't I win? See, he didn't know that I'd had a talk with the Lord. And I knew my purpose. Are you with me? So when he came to me and he said, you can't win. We've done a poll and you're number six and there are only two seats open. I said, why can't I win? Well, number one, you ain't got no money. I said, well, that's that work. I don't have any money. And he said, number two, he said, everywhere you go, you've been hollering, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, we have a lot of Jews in this town, and there's a lot of those Jews are not going to vote for you because you're talking about Jesus. So that went against you. I said, all right. I said, what else? He said, you're black. I said, I know. I know that, and you know that too. You can see me. Somebody got in my tree way back yonder, but I still have more than one drop of y'all here. I got more than one drop of black blood in me, so I'm black. I said, sir, but I got a message for you. If you had come to me a couple of days ago, I would have probably agreed with you. But last night as I was sleeping, the Lord came to me and told me he had put me in office in Lancaster and as a city council and on to the mayor to be there for that purpose. And he said, sir, you can't do it. I said, well, would you make me a promise? When I win, 2 days from now, would you come and congratulate me? He said, Mr. Hearns, you won't win. I'm not asking you that. Will you come and congratulate? Mr. Hearns, you can't win. I said, well, I'm going to see you there if you got any guts in you to welcome me in. Well, I won walking away. Won walking away. But you see, God did that because he had a purpose for me being there. We set up, while I was there, an ordinance against pornography. And they had the headlines in the Los Angeles Times and all through our basic paper there in our area said a city that bans sex is what they put out on me. So hard copy came. And when hard copy came, they did an interview with me. And they wanted to know, how can you preach like you do? Because they wanted to come to my church. And my attorney, the city attorney, said, don't let them in. They'll do you in. And I said, that's why you are our city attorney, because we hired you to take care of us when we got a problem. Because I'm going to let them come to my church because I don't have but one thing to say, and that's Jesus. If they want a hard copy of that, go ahead. So God had me at Lancaster for a purpose. God has Armstrong for a purpose. He has every one of you here for a purpose. And it's not just singing in the choir, brothers. There's another purpose bigger than that. You ought to have a testimony with you wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whoever you come in contact with. You ought to have a testimony that Jesus lives. So the world is asking the question, will they quit short of purpose? So hard copy came, he wanted to know, what would you do? He said, how can you do this? How can you preach like this? And the guy that did the interview was Jewish. He said, you know what? If I lived in this area, I'd probably change my religion because you're a great preacher. Right. And then he said this, so what would you do? How do you mix these two? And my answer to them, pastor, was this. Everywhere I go is a pulpit. I don't preach on Sunday one thing and preach another thing sitting in the mayor's seat in the city of Lancaster. It's the same thing. If Jesus ain't with me on Sunday, he ain't with me on Monday. And if he ain't with me on Monday, he ain't with me on Sunday. So my purpose is Jesus. So will they stop? The world is asking, will Shiloh quit short of purpose? And Shiloh ought to have an answer, no way. We will stand until Jesus come back. Will they quit short of purpose? Question number five. Now here's, we're going to see if we can wrap it all up here. Question number five. Will they revive the stones that are in the crack houses? Will they go to the prostitutes on the street and love them as if they had done no wrong? Will they let them know that Jesus loved them no matter what? That's what the Lord has called the body of Christ together to do. Some of them may be named Shiloh, some living stone and whatever, but the universal church has been called for the purpose of reviving the stone. I'm satisfied that God is looking for a church that will not forego their purpose for nobody. Will she be a godly attorney? We have a couple of judges in our church, several attorneys. One lady who is a judge, and she often called me, she says, I got a tough case today, and I'm not sure whether this person is lying or not. Pastor, will you pray? And I stop and pray for them right there. Because we have a mission, brothers and sisters. And working and making thousands of dollars is not my purpose. That's to put a roof over, food on the table, good shoes, good clothes, all of that. But that's not the mission. The mission is Jesus. And any time that we can get Jesus into a man or woman, I guarantee you their lives will change. No way in the world that they cannot change. If you get Jesus in them, the devil and Jesus can't stay in the same body. No way. So when we give them Jesus, the devil has to leave. So I come to let you know today, the question is on the floor to the 21st century church. And I believe Pastor has that 2020 vision for this 21st century church. So I urge you, let me take you now to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Are you with me? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If anybody got it up in here and you got a King James version, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 1. Anybody got it, just start yelling. That's what we do it at home. Thank you for letting me be here. Chapter 12, verse 1. Somebody. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the grace of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Pastor Darrell. What? You read the wrong word. It's show yourself approved unto Pastor Darrell Armstrong. Did I read the wrong book? Come on, say, yeah, preacher, you read the wrong book. Show yourself approved unto God, which is what? Which is your reasonable servant. Now look at verse 2, and this is what we got to get the people to do. Read. Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you can get a man or woman to change their mind, everything else changes. Well. But if they don't have a change of mind, they can't get there. So we've got to speak to them, teach to them, preach to them, pray with them, be with them until they can realize the fact that there's a new way of doing business. So I am encouraged today to recognize the fact that if we can get any man or woman to change their mind, then they'll pull their britches up. Are you with me? Then they'll wear their clothes properly. Their language will change. Their behavior will change. When we begin to get them to change their mind. You cannot speak what you don't have in your mind. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks it. So I'm glad today. And I'm satisfied to recognize the fact that no matter what come or what go, the devil has to take a back seat when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, the devil has to move out. The book says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I'm glad today that I have a living Savior. I have a Savior who sees, who knows, who is able to bring us, to lift us above. I'm thankful today that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Would you stand with me right now? Yes. To God be the glory. I'd like to leave this little story with you. In order for us to fulfill and to be able to stand up to Satan, to answer the question that is on the floor for the 21st century, to be able to not quit short of purpose, to revive those who are dead, we have to turn the whole thing over to the Lord. Heard a story once. This man, all of a sudden, for some reason, got real rich. And he always wanted a big house. So he built himself a 15-bedroom house. And he said, I go to church and I want the Lord to live with me and I'm going to build a bigger room for him. And as the story goes, the Lord came. And the man showed Jesus his big new room. And as the story goes, Jesus said, all right, is this where I have to stay? And the man said, yes, sir. Well, the next day, the devil came by the man's house. And he started whooping on the man, and the man knew that Jesus was in his room, and so he started hollering, Jesus. But Jesus never came out. So when the devil left, the man said to Jesus, I call on you. That's why I want you here, because I need your protection. I need you to help me. And Jesus said to him, but you gave me one room. And I stayed in my room. Next morning, Satan came by. Well, the man said, well, why don't you take everything except my master bedroom for me and my wife? Devil come back next morning and hit him in those same sore spots. You know, the devil know how to hit you in them sore spots. He called on Jesus, and Jesus never showed up. The devil left, and the man said, I gave you all of the rooms except one. And Jesus said, yes, and I took care of all 14 of those rooms. The man got the picture. He called his bookkeeper. He said, bring me the key ring. And he said, sir, here's the keys to everything. So the devil shows up. Let's call it the 21st century. The devil shows up the next morning. And the man got ready to go on, answer the door. And Jesus said, let me answer the door. All right. So when the devil came to the door, and Jesus stood there with his arms folded, the devil recognized who he was, and he said, sorry, sir, I must have the wrong address. If you truly want to answer the call in the 21st century, turn your whole life over to Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
Then when the devil comes and he see and think he sees you, he'll see Jesus. Therefore, he'll recognize that he's fighting a losing battle.
All right.
If there's anybody in this house today who have not turned your whole life over to Jesus, I want to urge you right now. What a blessing that would be to pastor at this anniversary time for one person to give up their life to Jesus. If there's one person here who do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you do not have the protection. You do not have the answer for the 21st century. Believe me, the 21st century is going somewhere. Technology is making us. In fact, in a few minutes from now, I'll be on the telephone speaking to my church live right there on the screen at our church. That's what technology has done. So I urge you today, if there's anybody in this house who do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I would urge you to step out of that seat and come to Jesus.
Yes.
He's able,
yes, he is,
to take care of all of your room. And by the way, it doesn't make any difference if you had a drink last night, drugs last night. I don't care what you have done. This door is open to you.
All right.
This family here will help you. Now is the time. I'm going to ask another question. I'm going to ask you to be honest with me. Is there anybody here today who's not a member of a church in this area? Live here in the area, but you're not a member of a church in this area. Would you raise your hand? If you're not a member of a church in this area, I see a hand. See several hands. I'm not going to tell you that this is where you must be, but you won't find a better place.
All right.
You won't find a better place. To learn and to grow. To learn and to grow.
That's right.
I'm going to ask everybody to kind of bow your heads, except for those hands that were raised. Those hands that were raised. I want you to hear this prayer. Ask the Lord, is this your day? Ask the Lord, would this be the place where you'd take my life and run it for me? Where I'd be able to compete with power. And if the Lord says yes, come out of that seat and I'd like to meet you right here in the front. Amen. I'd like to meet you right here in the front. Glory. There is a definite calling on this brother's life. Watch out. And you can train him so he won't quit short of purpose. Hallelujah. Here's somebody else. Here's somebody else.